for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2013 Spring Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Thursday evening, March the 28th, 2013. Frank Butler is the speaker of this service teaching on the expectation of your faith.
Here are some testimonies just before we get into the message. All over this great nation, just as a lady in Baltimore, I've been hospitalized several times because of internal bleeding and other complications. I was on a liver transplant list at the University of Maryland and diagnosed with stage 4 cirrhosis. When I went for an ultrasound of my liver last Friday and picked up a copy of my results, it said, no abnormality, praise the Lord. I believe in God that my doctors will visit my church and present medical verification. She's off the list. Amen. Come on, don't get too excited now. Amen. There's a lady over in North Carolina. She, first of all, giving honor to God for the miraculous work He's done in my life. Frank, I thank God for you and your ministry. I will never forget you and the bond that we shared. For years I have battled MS and fibromyalgia. She can hardly walk, this woman. And both giving me constant pain, fatigue, and unrest. When you came to our church and laid hands on me, I was slain in the spirit. When I got up, I was so drunk in the spirit and trying to focus, then I noticed no pain. Instantly, God healed me. Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise. Amen. His eyesight healed, cancer healed, diabetes healed, arthritis healed, scoliosis of the spine healed, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, sleep apnea, asthma, neuropathy, 57-year-old lady up in Minot, North Dakota healed, 80-year-old's mother's knees healed. Don't say in the Bible, once you retire at age 65, God can't heal you. Don't say that. It says you will still bring forth fruit in old age. Amen. You'll be fresh and flourishing, just like me. Amen. It says you'll come to your grave in a full age as a pile of ripe corn, not diseased corn. I'm not crawling into heaven. I'm marching into heaven. Who's coming with me? Amen. Three people. Wonderful. Hallelujah. Lyme disease healed. Lyme disease is incurable. Amen. Hallelujah. Pastor who died six times, back preaching. Wonderful. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Where's this one? Set free from alcohol, crack cocaine, shingles, and cigarettes. When I heard you speak, the spirit in you moved me like never before. Well, that's the Holy Ghost, nothing to do with me. When I prayed along with you, something happened. You people can't believe him. A lot of you already mentioned you traveled a long way from a long way away. Did you come just wishing and hoping and maybe and if? No, no, no. You got to have faith. Look at me and listen. Every gospel blessing this side of heaven comes to you one way, by faith. You get saved by faith. You get it. Jesus said about 10 times, your faith is healed. Your faith has healed you. You get filled with the Holy Spirit. And you pray in other tongues, it says you receive the Holy Ghost by faith in the book of Galatians. Everybody say, God's not an Englishman. Everybody say, I'm sure he's an Australian. There you go. You get directed down life's road through faith. Life is a life of faith. You don't know what's going to happen one second ahead. Hallelujah. So you've got to live by faith. Faith counts the unseen as seen, the impossible as possible, the undone as done. Amen. And this guy here, he says, I prayed along with you and something happened. I'm now 56 days clean and sober and 2.5 hours free. Jesus miraculously set me free from alcohol, crack cocaine, shingles and cigarettes. And I feel on fire for God. Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise. Amen, amen. Wonderful Jesus. Oh, plenty of fibromyalgia there, plenty of cancers, tinnitus. Yeah, that's it. That's it. We're going to talk about that. You just did something I'm going to preach on. We're going to talk about this lady tonight. She confessed a miracle before she got it. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, joy of the Lord replaces depression. God wants you happy. I get tired of meeting sourpuss preachers and Christians. God wants you happy. He's happy. Why shouldn't we be happy? Oh, praise the Lord. 20 years ago, I got saved and I was sanctified. Well, what's happening now? When you're happy, you're going to touch other people. The world's taken drugs and alcohol and commit all sorts of filthy, wicked acts to try and be happy, and they're miserable. And the church should be the most joyous organization on the face of the earth. Amen. The Bible says God sits in the heavens and laughs. No wonder when he looks at all of us. Amen. Prostate cancer healed. This happened in Mountain Home. Anybody know where Mountain Home, Arkansas is? Can anything good come out of Arkansas? Listen to this. Thank you for praying for me. My PSA results scored a 7 and 2 biopsies confirming that I had prostate cancer. All of the treatments have awful side effects. After you prayed for me, I decided to have one more PSA test before I had treatment. Today I got the results and scored a 1. The nurse said anything below a 4 they consider normal. This is awesome news for me. Oh, I love that. I love these people. They're their own words. I never used to document miracles till we had the internet. I've been in the ministry since 1978, but I never I love people's tests. How do we overcome the devil? By the blood of the Lamb and word of God. You got to have fresh testimonies. You can't live off yesterday's miracles, yesterday's blessings, yesterday's answers to prayers. You got to have fresh miracles and fresh testimonies. Amen. And this guy says, this is awesome news for me. God is faithful and he's still in the healing business. Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise tonight. Wonderful Jesus. Amen, amen. Let's have a look here, this great incident. And drop by the website, frankbutler.org, and there's a link to Facebook. I'll be your friend if you give me $10,000 cash. I'll be your friend. I'll be your friend. Just $10,000, cash only. No checks. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Let's have a look here. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. It says, a certain woman had suffered from bleeding for 12 years, and that she suffered many things from many doctors. Nothing's changed. Two people you got to avoid, doctors and dentists. They hurt. They get paid for hurting you. Amen. And she suffered many things from many doctors, and she spent all that she had. Nothing's changed. Healthcare was expensive in Jesus' day. Guess what? It's expensive today. And she spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. Her condition deteriorated. It tells us in Luke's account, no doctor could heal her. Look, folks, doctors, I know I preached on it before, a message here called God's Ways of Healing opposes man's ways of healing. Doctors cannot heal. Medicines cannot heal. Surgery cannot heal. Those things can only assist the healing process. They have no power in themselves to heal. There is only one person who heals, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And he's not the great physician, because isn't it a bit unnerving that what physicians do, they call practicing? And God doesn't practice. We don't call him the great bank manager. We don't call him the great psychiatrist. We call him a wonderful counselor. We call him Jehovah Jireh, not the great bank manager. Well, how dare we call him the great physician? Nowhere in the Bible is God called the great physician. Yet books have been printed, preachers and teachers talk about it all the time. He is the great healer. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Come on. Big difference, folks. Big difference. And look at verse 27. When she heard about Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Faith comes from hearing, hearing by the word of God. Amen. She heard about Jesus. She maybe heard about Lazarus being resurrected, or the blind man being healed, or the paralyzed man being set free, or demons coming out of people. Amen. And it says here that she heard it. That means she listened or learned by hearing. You know, Jesus said, people have ears to hear, but they don't listen. And we're talking about the lost there. But guess what? There are people who go to church service after meeting, come to these camps all the time. They hear, they hear, they hear, they hear, they hear. Nothing ever changes. Why? Because they don't apply what they hear. You got to live according to your word, to the word of God. You got to live according to the word of God. Amen. And it says in Luke's account, Jesus said it, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Amen. You know, talk is cheap. And we're going to see this woman had everything going for her. Now, in the book of Hebrews, Paul said this about Israel. The word preached, proclaimed, announced to Israel did not profit them. Why? Because it was not mixed with faith in those who heard it. Now, you could do one of three things tonight and over these next few days. You could sit on the fence. You can reject everything, not act on it, or you can fully receive it, say things are going to change because I'm going to change. Christianity is about change. We are changed from glory to glory. Amen. Hallelujah. And Paul said the word preached didn't help, didn't profit them. It was not God's fault because they had the word of God preached to them. It was not mixed. That word mixed means to unite together by blending ingredients. If you make a savory meal and you leave the herbs out, it ain't going to turn out right. And the spices out. If you make a dessert and you leave the honey out, it ain't going to turn out right. You see. And you need, in your faith walk, you need all the ingredients. And we're going to have a look at the ingredients of this woman's faith. And you can apply this message to your health, your emotions, your finances, your relationships, your ministry, your business, whatever. Now listen, look at verse 27. She came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. Everybody say she heard it and she stayed with it. The stayed with it is the second ingredient of her faith. She didn't quit. She didn't waver. She didn't give up. She was bleeding right up to the moment she grabbed a hold of Jesus, as we're going to see. Amen. And, you know, we've got to fight the good fight of faith. Anybody notice life's tough? You move one mountain out of the way, the devil drops another one. I've had nothing but opposition since I got saved. Welcome to the Christian life. Whoa. Amen. I've told you before, I had a gun held to my head here in the United States. I'm almost an American citizen. I've had one car stolen and a gun held to my head. That's a joke. You're allowed to laugh. In Africa, I had a man threaten me with a machine gun. I led both of those guys to Christ. No weapon formed against me is going to prosper. Hallelujah. I've been spat at. I've been punched up. I've had lies told about me. I've had stupid Christians and stupid preachers. I was in Israel, and a stupid preacher told a preacher in Houston, Texas, that I smoke cigarettes. Little did the clown know that I wrote a song called If God Made You to Smoke, You'd Have a Chimney in Your Head. That man later committed adultery and left his wife and four kids. He is a pastor of a big church in Houston. Let me give you a little tip, Christian. Pay attention. When somebody attacks you unjustly, there's something wrong in their life. Bingo. Check. Amen. You got to wise up. When somebody is attacking you, say, what are they talking about? What the heck? There's something wrong in their life. Amen. You got to get your little discernment turned on. That detecting what's of God, what's not of God. Not everything with the name of Jesus Christ stamped on it is of God. Amen. And this woman heard it and she stayed with it. The Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. Wage a good warfare. Amen. God will give you the victory, but you've got to get in the fight. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in Matthew's account, it adds something else. This is not in Luke's account. It says, the woman said within herself, if I could only touch his clothing, I will be healed. Everybody say she thought it. Do you know God knows what every one of you is thinking right now? Do you know the Bible says he knows your thoughts are far off? God knows what you had for breakfast. God knows the number of hairs on your head or lack thereof. Hallelujah. But God knows what you're thinking right now, the split second. God knows all your filth, all your rubbish, all your garbage, all your trash. That's why a lot of people have almost been reading this message tonight. Our brother was saying, receive, expect. Other people were saying, receive, expect. You've got to expect. We're going to get down to that in just a moment. And this woman thought it. Listen to what the Bible says about your thoughts. The thoughts of the righteous are right. Commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. You're a product of your thoughts. The Bible says, as you think in your heart, so you are. Amen. Look at verse 28. It gets betterer and gooderer. For she said, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Everybody say she said it. The Bible says a lot about tongues, words, lips, and mouth. Jesus said, whosoever will say and believe what they say will come to pass, they will have whatever they say. Now, just because some kooky preachers and teachers here in the United States have taken positive confession and all these scriptures to make merchandise of God's people, does not mean it's not a true teaching. The Bible says, from the fruit of your lips, you'll enjoy good. What a powerful scripture. The Bible says, the person who controls their tongue saves their life from trouble. Wow. Listen. My words are health to your flesh. The tongue of the wise is health. Pleasant words are health to the bones. Got any bones in your body? Just check. Amen. Pleasant words are health to your bones. doctors, I've read different studies, people who have some cancers and arthritis and other things that cripple them are filled with bitterness. It's true. And a lot of Christians, just like the sinners, they walk around saying, I worry myself sick. I can't cope. She gets on my nerves. He's a pain in the neck. She gives me a headache. I'm a nervous wreck. I'm uptight. I'm going to pieces. I'm stressed out, and I'll never get healed. And every year when the cold and flu demons come out, all the Christians walk around, there's a lot of it around, or there's a lot of it around. Well, there's more of the Holy Ghost around. Hallelujah. Shut your mouth. Shut up. And it says, she said, within herself, she planned it. A plan is something worked out beforehand to accomplish something. There are many plans in a person's heart, but the Lord counsel will stand. Everybody here, front row to back row tonight, has plans. Amen. Otherwise, you're just going to be a big blob sitting there. Not going to eat any food. You're not going to go to bed. You're not going to have a shower. You have plans. You have plans. A person's heart plans their way. The Lord directs their steps. Amen. God has plans for you too. Call to me, and I'll show you great and mighty things you do not know. I used to cuss his name. Week after I got saved, I was preaching his name. Hallelujah. Been preaching ever since. Many have tried to stop me, but they failed. Amen. Can't keep a good man down. Couldn't keep Jesus down. They're not going to keep me down. They're not going to keep you down. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, I like this woman. She said, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. She was proactive. Everybody say she was proactive. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the strong take it by force. The gospel ain't for wimps. For too long, in movies and TV shows, preachers and Christians have been portrayed, revealed as wimps. The gospel is for strong men. The gospel of Jesus Christ is for strong women. It ain't for wimps. And it's time for Christians to have a bit of backbone, a bit of courage, and a bit of guts, and a bit of boldness, and a bit of confidence. The battle is going on outside this building here. This nation is literally falling apart. Where are the preachers? Where are the Christians? Oh, bless me. Oh, Lord, heal me. Oh, deliver me. Okay, let me give you a big tip on deliverance. If you all want to get delivered really quick, start serving Christ. When you start giving out of love and compassion and mercy, you won't be thinking about yourself. And the devil will flee. Overanalyzing ourselves too often. Oh, this, oh, I've had this. She said this years ago. Oh, he hurt me. Oh, I failed years ago. Drop the rubbish at the cross. Put it under the blood and get on with living. My garbage ain't coming out. I dropped it when I got saved. I was being sued for $60,000, a 4-ton truck with equipment. For rock concerts, road crew, and a whole bit. I broke all the contracts. When I got saved, walked out of the band. Had the same manager as AC/DC, Olivia Newton-John, Little River Band. I was physically sick, demon-possessed, smoked cigarettes, took drugs, did a lot of other wicked stuff. 1 month later, my whole life was turned around. Why? Because I chose it to be. The Bible says, choose this day whom you're going to serve. Everything about the Christian life is choice. A lot of people want the preacher to jump in their body and live their Christian life from. A lot of you people want some other preacher or some loved one, some strong Christian man or woman to fight your battles. Why don't you stir up the gift in you? Hallelujah. Jesus was not a wimp. Jesus did not quit. He went to the cross. You think life's tough? There was a 30-year-old pastor in Iran several years ago. I was at a preacher's meeting in Texas, and they got a fax out there to Israel and over to the USA. He was dragged from his house and shot dead because he was a Christian. And you think it's tough being a Christian in America? Hallelujah. The church today is running with its tail between its legs. You've got a church on every corner across this nation. They're silent. And this woman was proactive. That means acting in advance to cause something to happen. Cutting a hole in a roof, lowering a paralyzed man in, that's proactive. Blind Bartimaeus, can't see a thing. Thank God he wasn't deaf. Because he heard Jesus was passing by. Jesus called him, and he got up. A blind man found Jesus. What's your excuse? Hallelujah. They're proactive. This woman's pushing through the crowd. She didn't say, Peter, can you get Jesus to come and lay hands on me? Or John, can you get Peter to come and pray the prayer of faith? She did it herself. Oh, hallelujah. She was confident. Everybody say she was confident. This is the confidence that we have in him. A lot of Christians lack confidence today. This is what the Bible says. Anybody here believe the Bible? One, two, three, four. Okay. This is the confidence we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And we know that if He hears us, whatever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we have desired of Him. You know, the Bible says, God will give you your petitions. You think we all went up to the White House tonight, knocked on the door and said, President Obama, we've got petitions. Would you grant them? We wouldn't even get near the place. But we go to the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, any time, any place, anyhow, with our petitions. Hallelujah. She was bold. Everybody say she was bold. She said, if I just touch His clothes, I will be healed. The Bible says the righteous are wimps. Is that what the Bible says? The Bible says the righteous are as bold as a lion. Satan roams around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We have Jesus Christ on the inside. Hallelujah. We've got all these songs in the church today. Oh, I want to get nearer to you. Oh, I want to know you better. Oh, I want to draw closer to you. He's in you. How much closer can he get? I got scriptures to back that statement up. We have a treasure in earthen vessels. Greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. Bump me, sister. Bump me. There you go. Give me five. Hallelujah. He's in you. There are numerous scriptures. But, you know, well, God's a long way away. No, He's not. What did Jesus say? I'm with you always, I'll never leave you or forsake you. What does the Bible say? The anointing abides. Holy Ghost don't come and go, we come and go. Hallelujah. She was determined. When I touch His clothing, I will be healed. Oh, I like this lady. Had to be a woman. Had to be a woman. Couldn't be a man. She entertained no fear, doubt, unbelief. No ifs, buts, or maybes. I will be healed. Whoa, glory to God. You know, you go to Africa and Asia, South America where I preached, that's why they get more miracles. They got all of these ingredients. We come along, oh Lord. You know what we do? We get a little ache or pain. We get a little something go wrong in our life. We get a bad report from a doctor. We do the worst thing possible. We stay away from church. I don't care if you've got to be carried in on life support. Get to church. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Amen. It's a household of faith. When Christians get together, things happen. She expected it. When I touch His clothes, I will be healed. Everybody say she expected it. That's to look forward with certainty and anticipation to receiving something. Listen to what the Bible says about expectation. My soul waits on God, for my expectation is from Him. Surely there is an end, and your expectation will not be cut off. For thus says the Lord, I will perform my good word for you to give you an expected end. Call to me, pray to me, and I'll answer you. You'd expect the unexpected. This is where a lot of Western Christians miss it too. We have the faith in our mind, faith in our mouth. We might even have some actions, but we don't have these other ingredients, this boldness, this confidence, this determination. Look at verse 29. And straight away the bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body she was healed from her suffering. Everybody say she received it. Straight away, I like that. Any parents here? Put your hand up if you've got kids. You love to touch your kids. When they're little, they crawl all over you, dribble and vomit all over you. When they get older, they do much the same. But you love to touch your kids. Guess what? Our Heavenly Father loves to touch His kids. There's nothing like the touch of God. We were just talking about it real briefly, Carla, before we walked into this. There's nothing like the anointing. I've enjoyed all the pleasures of life. Let me tell you something. There is nothing like the presence and power of God. There's nothing. It's not of this world. That's why. Hallelujah. Paul said, woe unto me if I don't preach the gospel. I'd be bored out of my brain if I couldn't preach this word. And I see the results. Hundreds of thousands of salvations. Wonderful miracles. Hallelujah. Thousands and thousands every year filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in other tongues. A 13-year-old boy in a prison, he was a murderer, gave his life to Christ. A 99-year-old woman gave her life to Christ. She had never heard the gospel. A 90-year-old black sister, African-American in Baltimore, got powerfully filled with the Holy Ghost. 90 years old. Never too late for a miracle. Amen. And God loves touching His kids. You go and read the testimonies on the website. Many people, it felt like warm fingers. It felt like, I want to read this one. This one just came in the other day. Let me find this. I don't think I've got it on here. I think it's on my on my phone. I don't think we uploaded it yet to the website. Let me see. Let me get the phone, because I want to read you this. It's a wonderful miracle. This lady talking about having God touch you. Listen to this. How do we ever live without electronics? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Lift your hands and worship the Lord while I'm looking for it. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We trust you, Lord. We depend on you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Without you, we could do nothing, but with you, all things are possible. Hallelujah. We find this here. Hang on, won't be an hour or two. Oh, I don't know. I've got a reception in here. I've often had trouble in here. Yeah, don't. Anyway, we'll try. I'll try and get it out. And but she had fibromyalgia. She had to use 7 pillows to sleep in a bed. She couldn't sit in a chair. She had to stand up at church service. She could not sit back in her car or wear a seatbelt. She was in excruciating pain. Taking all sorts of medications, nothing worked. She came to the service. She said, I saw people, she used the term, I remember it. She said, I saw people dropping to the floor, because most people say slain in the spirit or falling out under the power. I've never heard dropping to the floor. But listen, let me tell you something. You don't have to fall down to get a miracle. Some of the best miracles I've seen, nothing visibly has happened. They've still got their miracles, okay? Anyway, she saw this, and she said, oh, I don't want to fall down, because she's in this excruciating pain. She comes out the front. I didn't know any of this until after she got healed. And she came out. I laid hands on her, and the next thing she says, I was floating on a cloud. Now, here she is. Isn't this incredible? And you read so many. There's a woman in Denver. She had something wrong with her spine or something. She said it was like 2 warm fingers massaging her back. There was another woman up in Richmond, Indiana. She had something wrong with her body, I think lower half her body. She was crippled or something. She said it felt like warm oil flowing through my body. Folks, God does some pretty unusual things. And when God touches you, you know it's God. You don't want a preacher's touch. They ain't got to help you. You need his touch. And this woman, she said, I felt like I was laying on a cloud, and just in the presence of God, she says. And then she said, I opened my eyes, I was laying on the floor. And she got up, she went back, she said, first miracle, I sat in my seat, no pain. Drove my car home, no pain. And she was completely healed. Has a good, sleeps real good. God wants you to have a good night's sleep. Do you know there are many scriptures about sleeping? There are many scriptures about God wants you to have a good night's rest. And this woman had a wonderful, wonderful miracle. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Come on. Amen. Amen. And she expected it. She says in her testimony something about expectation. That's what made me think of it. Now look at this lady. She says straight away the bleeding stopped. She felt in her body. Everybody pinch yourself. She got feelings. Hallelujah. Amen. And folks, you know, you live in the anointing. I just said it a moment ago. The Holy Spirit, what it says, the anointing abides. God doesn't have good days and bad days. God doesn't hate Mondays and love Fridays. You've even got a restaurant chain called Thank God It's Friday. Amen. Oh, can't wait to get out of the office. Oh, can't wait till it's Friday. What a way to live. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life. And look at this woman, look down at verse 30. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, he turned around in the crowd and he's saying, she touched me. Oh, she touched me. Wait, listen, everybody wants Jesus to touch you. Why don't you touch Jesus? Amen. People tell me in service, especially in big meetings, when you go overseas and that, you got 10, 20, 50,000. I'm just crying out to God. I just decide to touch Jesus. Guess what? When you touch Jesus, he's going to touch you back. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Wonderful Jesus. And the disciples, alias the 12 pests, they said, you see the multitude crowding you, and you say, who touched me? They were great help, weren't they? Look at verse 32. And Jesus looked around to see who had done this thing. Everybody say she did it. Jesus said, my brethren are those who hear the word of God and do it. Now, it's not good grammar, but when you've done something, God will done something. You all came here. What'd you come here for? Just to get happy and clappy? Just to hear some good messages? Just to tell everybody how wonderful they look? Oh, you look nice. Oh, you look nice. Oh, you look nice. Would you come here for God to change you, for God to help you, for God to deliver you, for God to heal you, for God to bless you, for God to prosper you, for God to direct you through life? Amen. This woman came, she didn't leave empty-handed. Amen. The doer of the work will be blessed in what they do. There's one word Christians don't like, it's work. Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Faith without works, without actions is dead, it's useless. Can't help you, can't help anyone else. See, Christians in America and Australia, too, we're overfed spiritually. Hear the word, 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 hear the word. Hey, people want to see Jesus today. If ever there was a time, we were talking about that earlier, Stater and myself, listen, people in this nation, they want to see you. They got full-time radio, full-time Christian TV. People want to see Jesus. What do I mean? People getting miraculously saved, miraculously healed, miraculously delivered, prospered beyond their furthest dream. The more money you have, the more money God gets. Amen. It was a sin to be rich, God to be poor. Now, God's not going to make us all millionaires, but God wants to bless you and help you. Amen. And this woman was a doer. Now, in Matthew's account, it says she touched the hem of his garment. Do any of you ladies sew? Do any of you ladies cook? Do any of you ladies watch soap operas? Just having fun. I'll leave it at that. A hem is a border, the perimeter, or the outskirts of a garment. And it says, in Matthew's account, she touched the hem. The Greek word for touched is haptomai. In English, it means to feel or handle or come into contact with. The Greek word means to fasten to cling to. No wonder Jesus felt her. Hallelujah. And this woman was a rebel. Under the law, any woman or man with any issue, blood or anything else coming out of their body, was to be quarantined. See, God has known for centuries about germs. Isn't that amazing? Everybody say God's a know-all. Everybody say God's a know-all. He knows all. Amen. He's a know-all. Amen. He knows all. And this woman, here it says, the scripture in Leviticus, a woman with any discharge was to be quarantined until healed. But this woman came out in public. She broke the law. She grabbed a hold of Jesus. But when she touched the clothing that Jesus had on, she touched the word that became flesh. Old Testament and New Testament, all wrapped up in one. Hallelujah. She touched that living word. She didn't touch his hand. She didn't touch his face. She didn't touch his foot. She touched some cloth. God could send power through anything. Wood, steel, cloth, air, fire, water. Why? Because he upholds all things by the word of his power. That's why he could touch your flesh and your blood and your bones and your internal organs and your emotions in a split second and make it completely whole. Give him a shout of praise tonight. Come on. I said give him a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Wonderful Jesus. Us Christians don't have to touch the perimeter. Paul said, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Notice the word boldly. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Look at verse 33. And the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before Jesus and told him all the truth. Everybody say she was humble. She fell down before Jesus, told him all the truth. And she testified about it. Everybody say she testified about it. She told Jesus all the truth. Look at verse 34. And Jesus said to her, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. It's the 15th ingredient of a faith. Everybody say she believed it. She started out in faith and she ended up in faith. She believed it. Everybody here has faith. God has given to everyone the measure of faith. What is faith? It means you're confident of what you hope for, convinced of what you do not see. Faith is belief without proof. Faith means you're fully persuaded, as it says in the book of Romans, as Abraham was. You are fully persuaded that what God promised, he was also able to do. That's faith. You haven't seen heaven. Some people have seen heaven. Some people have seen Jesus. Some people have seen angels. I haven't. But you live by faith. The word faith in the New Testament is mentioned 245 times. I think God's trying to tell us something. Your greatest possession, I've said this before, I know in another message, I'm going to say it again. Your greatest possession is not your bank balance, your gifts and abilities, not your family, not your church, not your nation. Your greatest possession is your personal faith in Jesus Christ, His words, and His miracle power. Hallelujah. Amen. The only thing you take when you die is your faith in Jesus Christ. Even the atheist uses their God-given faith to say there is no God. You ever notice the atheists are bold? Where are the Christians? You ever notice all the wicked out there, the sodomites and everyone else, is bold? The church seems to be running with its tail between its legs. Come on, we need some strong men and some strong women. This woman was not a wimp. Hallelujah. The same faith that saves you is the same faith that heals you, delivers you, provides for you. Without faith, you cannot please God. For the one who comes to God must believe. Faith is not a suggestion, recommendation, or an option. Jesus said, have faith in God. Jesus said, believe in God, believe also in me. God demands that we have faith. Why? Because there was fear, doubt, and unbelief in the garden when Adam and Eve rejected what God said and listened to what the devil said, and man's been paying the price ever since. You cannot please God without faith. The one who comes to God must believe God is, and here it is, and that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. What does that word diligent mean? It means to be busy and industrious and given to detail about the things of God. Guess what the book of Proverbs says? The hand of the diligent will rule. If you want to rule in every area of your life, get diligent before God, in your family relationships, with your employer, in your church. Get busy, get diligent about the things of God, and you watch what happens in your life. Here are the 15 ingredients. Say it after me. She heard it. She stayed with it. She thought it. She said it. She planned it. She was proactive. She was confident. She was bold. She was determined. She expected it. She received it. She did it. She humbled herself. She testified about it. And she believed it. Now let's personalize it. I've heard it. I'll stay with it. I'll think it. I'll speak it. I'll plan it. I'll be proactive. I'll be confident. I'll be bold. I'll be determined. I'll expect it. I'll receive it. I'll do it. I'll humble myself. I'll testify about it. And I believe it. Here's the invitation tonight. If you want to live in the faith and die in the faith, jump to your feet real quick. Lift your hands to heaven. Come on. Pray after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I was born in sin, but I'm not going to die in sin. Because the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross of Calvary is greater than all my evil, filthy, wicked, unclean thoughts, words, and deeds. I thank you, Jesus. The blood of Jesus Christ cleans me from all sin. And Lord, from this night forth, I am going to have faith for myself, my loved ones, and others. And Lord, forgive me for being lazy, indifferent, wavering, filled with fear, filled with doubt, and filled with unbelief. I reject those things. My heart is filled with faith. I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. I'm going to wage a good warfare. This is the victory that overcomes the world, my faith. Lord, I'm proud to stand in this place tonight and lift up holy hands, because you, Jesus, you are the author, you are the originator, and one day you will be the finisher of my faith. And in the great day when I stand before you, I want to see a smile on your face, and I want to hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant. And Lord, I'm not afraid of opposition. I'm going to be strong in you. I'm not going to run with my tail between my legs anymore. I'm not going to be a wimp. I'm not going to be a reed blowing in the wind. I'm going to have some guts and some courage and some fight and some determination and some boldness against Satan and his demon forces. And it is written, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Lord, I love you and I give you praise. Give him a big victory shout. Come on. Hallelujah. Good stuff. Amen, amen, amen. Was that good news or bad news? That was excellent news. It was wonderful news. We're going to believe God for some miracles tonight. Amen. I'll get my brother to lead us. Kyle, would you lead us in some worship? I sing praises to your name. Amen. He did a good job on the worship, didn't he? Amen. Outstanding. Outstanding. Wonderful. Okay, we want to believe some miracles tonight. I believe in the laying on of hands. Amen. All the way through the Bible, God has used the laying on of hands to bless people, to prophesy over people, to ordain people, and to heal people. You see, surgeons and doctors, they use their hands. God uses the laying on of hands. Amen. It says in Luke's Gospel, Jesus laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Wonderful Jesus, the great healer. We want to get some miracles this weekend, amen? Want to see you here tomorrow morning and at the other meetings. You press in, as people have been saying tonight. You let that expectation arise in your heart. You know, I've had many people ask me a lot of questions like, well, I came out for prayer. I didn't get healed the first time. I got healed the second time. How come? Well, I'm not God. But Jesus prayed two times for a blind man to get healed. Okay? So if Jesus had to pray twice, people say, another question, how often should I come out on altar calls and believe God for a miracle? You keep asking, seeking, knocking till you get your miracle. Persistence. See, this lady was persistent. She would not stop. Amen? And people ask all these questions. And some people come out, well, I came out, I got healed, and then a week later, a month later, it came back. Well, somebody said it earlier tonight. I don't know who it was. Somebody said it here. I think it was Brother Richard. I think it was Richard. It might be my brother here. You got to keep the spirits out. You got to keep those infirmities out by staying pure and clean and holy and righteous and undefiled. Amen? So there's a lot of things, a lot of questions. But we want to believe God, He's going to make you whole this week. Listen, you're not very enthusiastic about ministering to others when you haven't got your own act together. I've never seen a blind man in the healing ministry. Now, I'm not being disrespectful to the blind. I have blind people healed. You can read it on the website. But what I'm saying is, when you're healthy, you're happy. My mother, she used to say to me about probably once a month, without your health, Frank, you got nothing. Who's heard parents say that? Without your health, you got nothing. Without, and she's right. You know, the Muppets and Sesame Street characters, Jim Henson, I think he was only late 30s years ago, this is in the late 90s, he got a bug on a Thursday, just some weird bug. By the following Tuesday, he was dead. So sickness could strike you down. I just read the stats. You know how many millions of people in America have sexually transmitted diseases? The CDC just put it out. 110 million. Yeah. 110 million. That's a third of your nation. You probably got 300 million with all your illegals. And see, that's the sin from the 60s and the 70s. Do your own thing, sleep around, and just whatever. And sin has a price tag. The Bible says the days of the wicked will be shortened. Sin shortens your life. Drugs, alcohol, sexual sin. But I just read the stats yesterday. It's on the news. 110, I think it was 110 and 980. I had another figure, but that was the figure there. Folks, God wants to heal you. Don't matter what you've done, how long you've done it. Don't matter what you've got. He's already forgiven you. You've already prayed. And tonight He wants to touch your flesh and your blood and your bones and your internal organs. He wants to touch you. He wants you to know this weekend, several people have said, He loves you. That's one of the reasons this camp is here. There's a lot of reasons this camp is here to set people free. But this camp wants to tell you that God loves you. He loves you, not the person next to you, behind you. He loves you and He cares about you. Isn't that good? He's a wonderful Jesus. So as our brother Carl sings it, you want some healing, you want some deliverance, you might be want to stand in for a loved one or a friend, come and stand here tonight. Come on now, quickly. Thanks, brother. Amen. Can we get this up a bit, brother? Thank you. Brother, just help me with this, would you? Move this back. Thanks. Move it back this way. Yeah, this way. There we go. Good job. Hallelujah. Thanks, brothers. Good. Excellent. Everybody take a step forward now. Come on. Move those flowers there if we could. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. God, just give you put those on the seat. Thanks. Come on. Don't look to me. I've got nothing to give. You haven't walked to a man. Start to look to Jesus. Just one line, please. I don't want anybody standing behind anybody. Just one line. Other people could wait off on the side. That's it. Just one line across the front. Come on. Right across the front there. That's it. Come on. Up here. Up here. Quick. Come up here. Come on. Sing it again. To your name, O Lord. And just talk to Jesus. For your name is great, lead to. Oh, we love you, Lord. This is holy ground tonight, Lord. To your name. O Lord, to your name. God's going to get some glory tonight. This place is off limits to all sickness, all darkness, all oppression. Good to see you. Come out here. Stop the music. Stop the music. His testimony is on the website. A few years ago I was here. He was sitting up there playing the guitar. And it was the last night, wasn't it, I believe? I believe it was the last night. And he stepped down off the platform there and he wanted healing for his feet. His testimony is on the website. Tell us what happened.
Lord, heal me.
Amen.
And wait for the part I like about his testimony. What did he wanted to prove that God had healed. What did you do over at Walmart?
Oh, I can't remember.
You kept walking around Walmart. That's what you said.
Yeah.
He told me. Good on you, brother. Yeah. Bless you. Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Hey, how old were you then? It was the year before. Sorry? It's a sin to lie, Dominic. And now God can't heal a 67-year-old. God can't heal a 67-year-old, can he? Can God heal a 67-year-old? Oh, okay, just check it. Come on, lift your hands and your voices and talk to Jesus. Say, Lord, I'm going to touch you tonight and nothing's going to stop me. And Lord, I'm going to receive tonight. And Lord, my heart is filled with expectation. And I promise, Lord, to stand here and everywhere else and give you praise and glory. Come on, brother, sing it, Kyle. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.